My name is Bob Lacey. I'm a program manager with the Army Corps of Engineers Engineer Research and Development Center, program manager for ranges and lands. And this morning's presentation on invasive species research, we don't have results, so to speak, but what I wanted to present is kind of a program that we're putting together to start this year, kind of the direction we're headed, and hopefully we'll be reporting on it in future annual meetings. And I'm, as I say, a program manager, so I basically do the work to get the funding and things of that nature, and there's technical people in the room that are associated with this that certainly know more of the technical aspects. My co-authors are Dr. Dick Gebhardt in the room here today, and Matt Holman. We submitted this early in the planning process for the effort, but there are many people involved, both at the Construction Engineering Research Lab in Champaign, the Environmental Laboratory in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Lab in Hanover. So we have a lot of folks involved. Our issue is that invasive species impacts and restricts training on quite a number of acreage. We don't really have a good handle on that, but last December and January, as a result of a congressional inquiry, the Army Chief of Staff for Installation Management sent out a survey, and they conducted a survey of 53 installations, Tier 1, Tier 2, which represented roughly 73% of the Army lands, which accounted for about 11 million acres. And they came up with some statistics saying that 400,000 acres on those 53 installations are impacted by invasive species. 274,000 acres were impacted to the point where there were restrictions on the land. So the issue we have is the restriction of training as a result of invasive species, whether it be a safety issue, a movement issue, or something of that nature. Also the secondary impacts, as many of us know, on threatened and endangered species and habitat as a result of an invasion, and control technologies. We don't really have, in our vast acreage, the ability to utilize chemicals because we have sensitive areas. There are a lot of issues in terms of using, standard control technologies. So the intent of this was to look at high priority species and try to come up with some integrated approaches that we can use within the Department of Defense, considering our budgets, our manpower, and the issues that we have for continuous training on the lands. Simply, I've probably stated this, but the purpose is to increase access to training lands. 400,000 acres is a considerable amount, a couple of Fort Hood, Texas installations, and provide some sort of integrated approach for our military land managers. We have kind of three focus areas, being exploit ecological and biogeochemical processes and understand them to address these species. Some what we're calling adaptive biometric sampling to understand clusters of invasive species that we may have that may be on a threshold, if you will, an action threshold of expanding and causing us problems in the future. It's not only targeting today's issues, but hopefully tomorrow's issues. And provide some sort of optimization criteria. When do you do this? When do you do that? At what point of an action threshold level do you try to use chemicals, a pathogen, a biological, or something of that nature, and put it all together in some sort of decision support capability for installations? Interestingly enough, without that congressional survey last year, we've got a poor record of getting a handle on what are our priority species and how are they impacting training and what should we work on. So over the last year, we went through a number of exercises reviewing regional list of species against our Tier 1 installations, the force or the power projection platforms, and so on. But that was pretty inconclusive because all the regions have practically the same species. How can you isolate an issue that you want to work on? So you had a long, long list. We went to the National Military Fish and Wildlife Association meetings, and they have an invasive species steering group and said, which is attended by a lot of military land managers. Passed out a questionnaire. We got a pretty poor response, a limited response, so I don't think we got much information from there. Headquarters DA did a little internal query for us through the environmental channels and the training plans and operations. But it was they told us, you know, this is all hearsay, this is anecdotal, but these are the species we have problems with. We went through a rigorous process of doing a weighting of all the species, 526, matching them with the geography of major installations, looking at the regulatory status, the likelihood of impact, and so on. Did a crosswalk with recent literature that's come out, identifying that it is an issue for military installations, and looking at floristic surveys and so on. And it was not until the release of this congressional vegetation survey and a prioritization by a small select user community and our researchers that we came up with our top list of species that we're targeting. And that would be yellow star thistle and cheatgrass, kudzu, and so on. You can read the list. Now I've drawn a dashed line there. Immediately this year, in this FY, we're going to do some do research relative to those top two. But below the line, we're going to be conducting kind of a literature review to really identify what priority we have within the Army, at least, for species that we need to be conducting some research on. But that's our short list. It'll be adjustable. Any input is appreciated. And we'll continue to identify the priorities, because we also have the AXIMS authority to do a questionnaire for the installations, or a survey to get in more depth of what the issues are for training. The work efforts we're initiating this year include the titles there: Army Invasive Species Priority Control and Management. I'll talk a little bit about each of these: yellow star thistle, cheatgrass. And then the inventory and monitoring protocol. With the invasive species priority control and management effort, we're basically going to look at, through literature review, interactions with our user community, is to identify what are the needs for those particular species. What are the species we need to target, and what are the needs for the installations to help in terms of reducing the restrictions on training. This will be a one-year effort, and supposedly the intent is to provide some kind of a technical infusion to the land managers. We have a lot of turnover in our land managers in some locations, and basically it's to provide a package, a technical infusion, say if you have these species, here would be the recommendation from the literature of the approach. This slide really kind of summarizes what I said, and we're kind of focusing, if you will, on the majority of the effort, I think. Well, not the majority, but a good part of the effort will be focused on two species, kudzu and multiflora rose, because that's what our ForceCom users, our Forces Command, folks who actually trained in units to fight, that's what they say is something that's they're really having difficulty with. Now we know everybody is doing work, or a lot of people are doing work on kudzu, so our focus will be on issues specific to the military and technology transition that will support the military. I've listed several things that we're going to be addressing in this: history, biology, mission impacts, it's critical for military lands, and control and management. So you can see kind of the cookbook list of things we'll be looking at for that bottom tier of species from the first slide. The next effort deals with yellow star thistle control techniques. A number of years ago, well, not that long, but three or four years ago, the Legacy Program funded a significant effort at Fort Hunter Liggett to look at yellow star thistle. It was done by a variety of folks, but the Environmental Lab and the Army Environmental Command were instrumental in getting the funding for that and directing it. And they've had quite a bit of success in alleviating the problem at Hunter Liggett. But at that particular time, the techniques and technologies were not really suited to areas where you had threatened endangered species, sensitive areas where you may have riparian zones or wetlands and so on and so forth. So what we're going to do with this effort is to go back and fill in the gaps in terms of an integrated program of what we may have missed. And that'll be done at Fort Hunter Liggett. But at the same time, the yellow star thistle, you know, has a range of these areas on the map. And we don't know if that's a species that's going to cause problems in places like Camp Atterbury, Indiana. It hasn't yet. But is there some sort of biogeophysical issue that we need to address? So we're going to do a lot of work relative to the genetics of these species at these locations to find out if there's any link that we could target with more field tests or more bench lab experiments to identify where we might have the next outbreak of this thistle. It's very, if you can see, you look at this picture, it's a fellow walking through the yellow star thistle at Hunter Liggett, and then you can imagine dropping in by a parachute at a drop zone what that's going to be like. So it is an issue. Whoops, let me back up here. So basically the approach is to look at the genetic variation among the populations within the United States to see what we can find out. Also, there is a rosette weevil that we're going to release at Hunter Liggett that hopefully will fill in those gaps where chemicals and other approaches had not addressed the issue in more sensitive areas. And we're looking at new pathogen, a Mediterranean rust pathogen, which basically completes its life cycle on the yellow star thistle as a host, to see if there's a control capability that we can utilize there. And through all that, with the past work that was done with the Legacy program, and underneath this particular program, the intent is to develop that first integrated package, that kind of approach to how you would triage a situation, and then jump into some more long-term work with the other efforts. Cheatgrass is an issue, especially related to fire. throughout the West, that's our other target species, with the intent to understand factors that relate to the emergence of cheatgrass and try to translate that to other invasives. I'll go forward with kind of the approach. It's kind of a multi-tiered approach, if you will. First of all, it'll be to investigate the effects of native grasses on the emergence. Look at the rhizosphere and the biology there. Is there anything that we can utilize or understand from a scientific point of view that we can use as a control for emergence of these species? Fire effects, what's the fire regime related to these species? Is there any way we can control that? Genetic variation relative to seed germination. And finally, issues of soil fertility. So we kind of had a long shopping list of the approach in terms of how we're going to address this particular species. The final thing will be take a look at some adaptive plant inventory mapping technologies. This will be done using this kind of some biometrics, if you will. This is, you see a lot about sampling techniques and statistical techniques in terms of biometrics are used to analyze diseases in humans and where they might have an outbreak. We're going to try to apply this to the approach to these invasive species for those where they're isolated locations. We don't know if they're reached an action threshold level or not, but we want to understand what their relationship is to a potential outbreak and how that might impact the military. The first step in this is going to develop that sampling technique, utilizing what we know from the medical community and utilizing what we know about the biology of a particular species. Kind of evaluate the sampling designs using some simulation models of data we have, and develop, or at least look at potential to developing a mobile application for this, so that you can get real-time data on your invasion, and ultimately evaluate this in terms of the current state of the art for inventory and monitoring of species. Kind of in summary, our starting point on this issue resolution, we had several workshops with the research community and our Army Environmental Center, and we have kind of five major areas we outlined that need to be attacked to address this issue for the military. Effects and impacts, what's the impact regime that may support infestation of invasive species? How does that work? Species distribution, what are the biotic and abiotic influences? Control mechanisms and optimization tools. Those are the needs for the military. As I said, 400,000 acres of training land impacted, restricted, training restricted on it. Not a good situation, especially as we expand our footprint with new weapon systems. And we don't have the money, so with more proactive management, we hope to be able to target the technologies that we can afford at military installations. That concludes the presentation. If there are time for questions, I'll attempt to answer some questions.
There are time for any questions.
Yes, sir.
I came in late, and I apologize if you read that you're integrating management schemes. Are you looking at apple grazing as a way to control some of these invasive species that came in and you talked about?
Yeah. In the first part of the, I guess what I termed a literature review to look at the second tier of species, a lot of those factors will be looked at, whether it be grazing, a mechanical, a cultural aspect. We want to look at all of the potential techniques to control these species with the intent of applying and put together an approach that fits both the budget of the military and the primary training mission. Grazing, it, just kind of depends.
On post bird grazing, it will allow.
Yes.
Some of those bird, seems like that would be a viable alternative.
That would be, that could be factored in, certainly, at those installations, yes. Yeah. Yes, sir.
On the grazing issue, we only had one major post of grazing. So, none of the other major force comments. Air Force bases, but not the Army. So that's what makes this project so unique, because we have to step out of the agriculture that people have been doing in land changing conventional agriculture, try to control these invasive species. It's a whole different scenario.
I think that's it for time, so let's thank Bob. All right, sorry.
Anyway.